I'm not going to turn on my microphone, apparently. Am I on? Okay. I'm not going to take long. I'm not going to take much of your time. I want to thank Paul for handling the majority of what needed to be done this week with the circumstances I was facing. I'm trying really hard to get through this because the problem I faced in preparing this was the fact that wisdom said, you don't need to do this. Not this Sunday, not this week. But I got to tell you, the passion said I needed to. The passion deep inside said that this is something I need to share. And so, yeah, I'm probably a little more emotional than I would be. But I'm kind of like that anyway. That's one of those traits I received from my father. So to honor him, I'm going to cry this morning. I thank Paul's dad for being here. If you don't know who Paul's dad is, if you take Paul and you smack him into T.D. Jakes, that's what he looks like. Philippians 2:12, therefore, my brothers, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. When you hear someone title a lesson, What Matters Most, you have to expect that somewhere he's going to hit on the topic of priorities. I'm not going to pound you about your child-rearing priorities, but I am going to pitch an idea to you when this is all over. Your ministry staff here, I'm talking about the two paid guys, are not here to raise your children. We're not even here to be in charge of the spiritual aspect of raising your children. We're simply a resource for you. Being a professional educator, that was not the visual aid I was going to present. This is. You go to Home Depot. And there are people there who help you seek out the supplies you need to deal with whatever task is at hand. There are people there who will provide you with the correct tools and make sure you have what you need so you can use those supplies. In fact, there are people there who are happy to offer up advice about the best way to tend to that project. See, they're just a resource. I want to read Ephesians 4 to you because I think it defines what Paul and I are here for. And some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Our rededication and commitment comes to you today with love, but with hearts full of concern. There is nothing that we won't do for you or your children, and I hope you realize that. And if you haven't yet, it's because we haven't had the opportunity or haven't been made aware of the opportunity. But parents, the success of the spiritual life of your children is on you. I wish it were on us. I wish we could be more than a resource, but that's not the way it works. All the programs in the world aren't going to get your child to heaven. We have in place some plans to facilitate your trek as parents. There are things you're going to see happening around this building. There are steps we're taking to give you every possible opportunity to help your child make that connection with God, the God that put them here in your lives. We're not presenting these things because of any lack of ability on your part, but because there are those of you who either are struggling with the spiritual aspect of your child's growth. Your child's not gross. Well, not that many of them. Some of you may be at a total loss. Maybe finding that item that works with your child to tie them in spiritually may be what you're lacking, and maybe that's where we can help. But I got to tell you, my greatest concern is that there seem to be many of you who think you've got it down and who think you have it set up and everything's going to be right with your children. And those are the ones that we are most concerned about. Because, brothers and sisters, as hard as it is to say, they're not being given the chance to work out their salvation. It's not something you set in motion. It's an everyday struggle and trial. It's not show up a little bit on Sunday morning and maybe in the middle of the week if you don't have soccer and you don't have homework. And I'm not saying that everything here is going to save your child, because nothing here is. This is simply a support group, but we're here for a reason. And I'm not suggesting that your child is going to burn in hell if you don't show up on Sundays or Wednesdays. But I want to know what message they're getting. And I am not going to replay the teacher's meeting, the parents' meeting we had a couple months ago when everybody felt like I slapped you on the wrist and sent you on your way. That was not the intent. That's not the intent this morning. What I want you to know is that we, Paul and me, the two of us, are going to make sure that you have access to anything and everything we can find so that you don't have an excuse and so that we're not your excuse for you not being prepared to teach your child what they need to have a relationship with God. And you think, oh, Jonathan, you're loud and you're yelling and you're passionate, but guess what? This is all I care about. God's going to judge me on this. And I'm not going to hound you. I'm not going to be at your door knocking. I'm not going to call you every day. But I'm going to let you know that we are providing you everything within our power. We have some ideas to share. We have some proven methods to provide. We want to give you so many resources that if A doesn't work, then try B. If B doesn't work, try C. But somewhere out there, there's an answer to help you build that relationship with God that is the only thing that's going to get your child to heaven. I'm not going to stand here and say that this is an easy task. And in fact, I fear that as many of you buy into what goods we're trying to sell, and there are some of you who won't even look at it, there are some who will start and not finish. And there are some that no matter what your level of involvement is in your child's spiritual life, will end up spending some nights shedding tears over the spiritual life that they're leading. And parents, if you think your child has it all wrapped up, check with me and check with Paul. We're around them other times. We hear the words that come out of their mouths. We know how many Bibles there are in class. We know how attached they are to that piece of equipment that God's given us. I know it's hard. We provide these items and we support you in the hopes that we can help you find that ultimate goal. I have spent a lot of time the last week thinking about heaven. And I told you 11 months ago when I first got here that my goal, my whole reason for being here is to spend eternity with your child. I want to explain, outline a few little things to you that you're going to find around here. Some things that are happening. These things are happening with or without you. They're just resources. You can do it. We can help. I hate to call this curriculum when in fact that's what it is. But at the back table back there, you're going to find a display of some materials. For the teenagers, middle school and high school, it's called Habits. And I think you're going to find that it's very integrated, and it's something that needs to become personal, and it's something that needs to take your religion to an indoor, everyday spiritual thing instead of a Sunday 9 o'clock, Wednesday 7 o'clock thing. There's a similar version called Growing You, short for Growing University, for the 3rd through 5th graders, and I think younger ones can get into this too with some parental help. Those folks that have been working forever, plus some new teams that have come on board with Camp Wannabe for the 2.5 through 2nd graders at the back, they're getting a new space. We're tearing down some walls and making a place for them so they can be fully effective. 5th through 6th grade Bible classes are moving into new areas. We're going to tear out some walls. We're tearing out walls because we need to start teaching to the learning styles that these children have. We can't continue to teach 1920s and 30s Bible stories and Bible lessons. The stories haven't changed. We can't teach the way we did then and be effective now. We're competing with Nintendo. Now, I'm not saying we're going to use Nintendo to teach, because I haven't finished the software for it yet. But we've got to do some things that make sense to their learning styles now. We have enough professional educators in this building to do whatever it takes to make it appropriate and applicable to where they are today. And we're not doing that very often. We're going to start something called On the Level. Now, On the Level is a children's sermon time. I don't want you to get all excited and freak out thinking, no, my child's too big for Bible hour. It's not Bible hour. But brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, I can't help but think that for 20 minutes, or in this case, a little longer today, that we don't waste a captive audience by having our 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders sit in here and have somebody talk over their heads for 20 to 30 minutes. I think that is a wasted opportunity. And if you think your child needs to be in here where they're being spoken over their heads, you need to come talk to me about what I see during church. You need to see what's going on with your child during the worship assembly. They're not absorbing too much of it. Because I got to tell you, it didn't work when we were their age, and it's not working now. The fact of the matter is, we need to use that time. And when I talk about on-the-level worship for the children, the older children, we're not talking about puppet shows. We're not talking about fancy skits. We're talking about a sermon where they sit and they listen. But somebody talks to them on an elementary level. And I know for all the pleas, for please get a preacher that's going to give us meat. These babies don't need meat yet. See, I know a little something about parenting. We've got to provide them what they need. And we're not doing it by having them sit in here and listen to somebody speak over their heads. And if you have a problem with it, you can get mad and storm out if you want, but please come see me first. Give me a chance. This isn't something I just woke up and decided to do. I can give you a book full of research that says this is the way it ought to be. And finally, the last thing I'm going to point out to you that's kind of kicking all this off is the retreat next weekend. Don't roll your eyes. This retreat is important. This retreat is important because it's a chance to get out there and hear that nature. The theme for this retreat is, my God is so big. And the whole theme is going to be centered around how, whether the issue is parenting or drugs in the school or cheating on a test or somebody stole my Play-Doh and didn't put the lid back on, that God is big enough to handle it. If you're not going to that retreat, I don't even want to know what excuses you have. Just break my heart. I'm not in the mood for any broken hearts. But I hope you can find a way to be there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, come see me. We're making this a family retreat. I hope nobody shows up here in the building next week because they're all at Camp Hensel. But you better sign up or you're not going to get anything to eat. It's important enough for me to take the time of this whole congregation here to talk about these things. I do not have children's ministry tunnel vision. I am able to see the whole picture. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't want the village raising my child. I want the family raising my child. And I want that family to be the people here who have the same ideas and the same philosophies and are willing to build in the same spiritual foundation that I have. I don't know how many people are in the world, but they're not all in here sharing the same idea with us. That's the reason we're sharing this from the pulpit today, is because there's nobody exempt from raising those children. These children that we see here, you don't think they're soaking in whatever it is you do? Lastly, I want to tell you that I have failed you. And I apologize and I ask for your forgiveness for not doing the job that needs to be done in this ministry from the beginning. I've let you down, but I'm not afraid to beg for your help. We have a monumental task. And I can tell you with all my heart and soul that what we have ahead of us to do in raising these children and making it our number one priority has nothing to do because I'm the children's minister. Has nothing to do with the fact that I'm the children's minister. It has to do with that. If we don't get them before age 10, we're not going to get them. At least it's going to be a lot tougher. So I apologize. I guarantee you with every fiber in my soul that what you see from here on is 100% dedication. All I can do is offer it to you. I can't force it down your throats. I can make it available. That's our call as ministers. We're your servants. We're here because God placed us here. But we can only do so much. I'm coach. I'm not the player in the game. I can lead and I can guide and I can educate, but I can't play the game. If you think we were hired here to raise your children or to make sure they went the right direction spiritually, I'm afraid you're disillusioned. If you think we're here to be a support for your family and to make sure you have everything you need, then I can guarantee you we understand that, and that's what we're here for. I'm going to ask that when we pray in a minute, just as Paul did, that you include the children's ministry and those that work in it, and that you remember that I am begging for your forgiveness for the poor job I have done so far and the fact that I am going to try and do better from here on out. And I'm not, again, saying this like Paul did. I'm not saying it for sympathy or hugs or attaboys. I'm saying it because I'm concerned for our children here and now. I'm begging that you find what it takes to raise spiritual children and that you reevaluate, even if you think you've got it all down pat. And if what you're doing is so good that your children are perfect, then you need to come share it with the rest of us because we have issues to raise. I am speaking at you out of love. I hope I'm talking with some of you as well. I know some of you wandered a long time ago thinking the pot roast is going to burn, so I'm going to wrap up. But I want you to take to heart the fact that this is not something we take lightly, and it's not something just passing through in our minds. It's something that we've been dealing with on top of a lot of other things to deal with. Because we feel like it's important. We presented the information to the elders and told them this is what we wanted to do, and they saw that this is where it's important, here and now for the youngsters, and the role that our seniors play in that, and the role that our parents play in that. We all have struggles of different kinds that we face, and this body is here to support you and to help you with that. And if this is a time when you need this body to come to you and wrap you in arms of love and share with you the devotion that we have and the caring, sincere hearts that we have to open for you, why don't you do that now while we stand and sing?